Okay, good afternoon. Let's see. So we've been working on equivalence relations, and I guess I'd also just ran through the outline of a proof, which I'll write out in detail right now. But then the focus thereafter will be to look at a special case of equivalence relations, which goes back to number theory GCD type questions we were looking at, which is modular arithmetic in section 3.4. So next we'll do section 3.4, which is equivalence relations giving us modular arithmetic. Which is both kind of fun, and it's actually turns out to be very useful. It is the method used for much encryption via RSA. Okay, so let's see, maybe I even have it here. There was a proof that we were right in the middle of here. There it is, theorem 3.1. So maybe I'll just write down the proof based on the sketch that we worked out last time. So proof of this theorem 3.1, 3.3.1. Which is right over here. If we have an equivalence relation on a non-empty set A, then I want to say that A mod R is a partition of A. Okay, and we already sketched out how to do that, which you should remind yourself of, because now I'm just going to write out what we got as a proof. Okay, so we're going to, of course, assume we have this, and then we're going to prove that. So we're going to assume that R is an equivalence relation on a non-empty set A. Okay, and recall that to show that that this is a partition, there are three things we need to show. We need to show that its elements are non-empty. We need to show that the union of its elements is everything, and we need to show that every pair is either that the intersection is either trivial or they're the same thing. Okay, so those three things, and we just ran through how to do that at the end of last time. So let me just summarize it all in our proof. Okay, so we have an element of A, then X bar is in A mod R, and since our relation R is an equivalence relation and therefore reflexive, X R X. R is reflexive. We have X R X. So little x is in X bar. Okay, and that's useful for two things. We have x in A, then x is in x bar, which is contained in the union over all y bar in A mod R of y bar. Okay, so I have every x is in this union, hence the union for all the y bar in A mod R of y bar is equal to A. Okay, so that was one of those three things we needed to prove, and that's how we prove it. Also, if we have x bar contained in R mod A mod R, then we have is in A bar, so we have that X bar is non-empty. Okay, that was the other, that was the second thing we needed, actually, usually the first, but one of the other things. And so that's two, and then we need the third thing. And so the third thing was if is the trickiest one, which is why we saved it for last. And if we have Z, some element of the intersection, so remember, we're trying to show that either the intersection is empty or or they're equal. And so what we, instead of proving a something or, we're gonna assume the converse of one of them and assume the negation of one and prove the other. So we're gonna assume that it has something in the intersection. So we have Z is in Y bar intersect X bar. And we have W, which is in X bar. And we want to show that W is in Y bar, and then we'll have that X bar is contained in Y bar. Well, what does it mean? So we worked this out. We have Y is related to Z since Z is in Y bar. X is related to Z since Z is in X bar. And X is related to W since W is in X bar. So by symmetry, this one here, X related to Z can be turned around, and we have Z related to X. Okay, and then we can apply the transitivity to so we have Y R Z, Z R X, so we have Y R X, and then we can apply it again, and we'll get what we wanted. So, using transitivity twice, we have that y r x first of all, and then combining y r x and x r w, we have y r w. Okay, so that says that w is in y bar. Okay, well, so what did we do? So we assumed that we had our input data, which was the negation of one of the two things, and that we had some element in X bar, and we got that element was in Y bar. So that says that X bar is a subset of Y bar. Therefore, X bar is a subset of Y bar, and by a similar argument, Y bar is a subset of X bar. So we have Y bar is equal to X bar since we have both subsets, and we're done. Okay, any question about that? It's a little bit hard to follow, I admit, because we did all the scratch work last time. But anyway, I did do all the scratch work last time, and you can look back and check that. Any questions about that one? Okay, let me do just one more example of the relationship between this partitions and sets, equivalence relations, and then go on to a modular arithmetic. So this one's the last one before we go to a modular stuff. This is actually one of the homework, it's an exercise, it's not assigned, it's an exercise. This is an exercise 7.A in the text. And it says the following: I'm gonna give you a partition and then try to find the equivalence relation that's that would give it to us. So find R, an equivalence relation, on the natural numbers, so that R mod this, I'm sorry, N mod R, I'll keep putting it upside down, so that N mod this R is equal to. Okay, so this is supposed to be a set of sets, right? This is the equivalence classes. And so the set of sets that I'm going to get is going to start with the set, which is 1 through 9. Okay, and then the next set is going to be the natural numbers 10 through 99. And then it's going to start at 100 and go to three nines, etc. I hope the pattern is clear. Okay, and the question is, how do I find an equivalence relation that gives this partition? So first of all, just looking at it, is it clear that this is a partition? What would we need to check to see that it's a partition? Which three things?
None of the sets intersect.
Mm-hmm. None of the sets are the empty set.
Mm-hmm.
And the union of all sets is n.
Correct. Right. And all those three things are true. Right. So no pair intersect. Right. Every single integer is in one of these. I'm sorry, positive integer. Every single natural number is in one of these. In fact, in exactly one, because they don't intersect. Did I get all of them? Yeah. Okay. All right. So those are, none of them are empty. And none of them are empty. Okay. Very good. So, all right. And so what would be an equivalence relation that would give this? Just to get some intuition for what's going on here. So how would I give an equivalence relation? So R is going to be the set of all pairs, A comma B, such that. So when would, how could I say that two of these are related? Two natural numbers are related.
B is, B is greater than or equal to 10 to the power of A minus 1. And B is, less than A 10 to the power of A.
Oh, 10 to the power of A, I see. Yes, there's some, yes, that's there's a way to write it that way. Let me try writing it just a way that I think is easier to write, okay? Just an easier way to think about it. But yes, that's a correct way to say it. But here's an easy way to write it, okay? What I want to say is that any two of these are equivalent, any two of those are equivalent, any two of these are equivalent, etc. And so here's just an easy way to say that in English. These all have one digit. These all have two digits. Those all have three digits. Those all have four digits. So I'm going to say that A and B are equivalent if they have the same number of digits. So as you said, I could write that out in terms of powers of 10 if I wanted to, and that would work. But I can also do it this way. Now let me do it this way. Okay, so this is both ways to do it. So if A and B have the same number of digits. Okay, so does everyone agree that this is an equivalence relation? So certainly A always has the same number of digits as itself, so it's reflexive. If A and B have the same number of digits, then B and A have the same number of digits, so it's symmetric. If A has the same number of digits as B and B has the same as C, then A and C have the same. Okay, so the fact that the word the same here occurs makes it really suggestive and pretty easy to check that it's an equivalence relation. Because equivalence relations are typically saying that some aspect of the two things are the same, okay? Okay, any questions about that example? Okay, then as I said, I would like to move on to section 3.4, which is a special case of these equivalence relations and one that comes up a lot and is very useful and fun to play with. So this is section 3.4. Yeah, modular arithmetic. I guess it's already written on the other side over there. Okay. This entails the following class of equivalence relations. So consider for any positive natural number m, let me call it, because I think that's what they use in the text. So I'm going to fix it, like 7 or something. There is an equivalence relation, which I will call R sub M, okay? And again, I can tell that it's going to be an equivalence relation because I'm going to say that two things because we've already seen this example, but it says that M divides the difference. Okay, so we did an example of this last time. I forget which number we used, maybe 5, but in any case, this is an equivalence relation. Okay, and now we're gonna write Z sub M, because it comes up a lot, for natural numbers. Oops, I'm sorry. I didn't say which sets these live in. I should have said what this was a relation on. I apologize, so let me say that. So there's an equivalence relation on, and I have to give you a set, and the set is gonna be the set Z. I'm sorry, I should have put that in, okay? All right, so ZM, so this is gonna be a Z mod, this equivalence relation R sub M, okay? And if I take this equivalence relation, it's got some sets in it, right? And I would like to list them all. So can anyone see actually how many elements this set Z mod RM has? Yes, someone has it correctly there. Yes, John, it's a M. And I see here that I did the example with 3 here, okay? So this is one over here. And there were 3 of them. And what are names for those sets?
The name of the sets would be corresponding to the remainder.
Mm-hmm, that's right. And the way that I'm going to express that correspondence is with an overline. And as you say, it's the remainder. And so I'm going to write a 0 overline and 1 overline. And these are going to be the remainders, exactly as you say, when I divide them. And someone else has written it there in the chat box, right? Okay, and so they're going to be labeled by these numbers, and I'm going to stick an over bar, although often I'm going to drop that actually. But for now, let me be careful and leave my over bar there. Okay, and so this has M elements, and those elements, remember, so what is this set? First of all, how many elements does that? So remember, this is a set of sets, right? That's what this always is. And so if I look at that first set, 0 bar, how many things are in that?
There's an infinite number of elements.
That's correct, exactly. It's an infinitely large set, and it's all multiples of M, right? If you recall. So this is similar, as I said, to the example we did before. So so it's got 0 in it, and it's got M in it, and it's just kind of handy to write them in order. It's easier to see what's going on. So it's got all the multiples of M in it, okay? That's what that one is. And the next one is all of those plus 1. And then the next one is, so this one is all of those plus 1, all of those plus 2, all of those plus 3. Okay. And actually, sometimes it's handy. What's another name for this one? Well, that's a little misleading because there are infinitely many other names, but here's one, and this is the one that's often handy. It's also minus 1 bar, right? And sometimes it's more convenient to use it that way. Okay, so that's the equivalence relation and we also call these the integers mod M. Okay, so that's the name. Okay, now it turns out that they're very handy for arithmetic, and you can define operations on them, and they work out nicely. And by nicely, I'll mean that they're well-defined, and I'll do an example of that later. But for the moment, let me just start by defining. Okay, so definition. If I'm going to take two elements, say A bar and B bar are in Z mod M, then I'm going to write the sum for the most obvious guess, which is A plus B bar, the product for, again, the most obvious guess, which is A times B bar. And similarly, I'm going to take A bar to the K, I guess I should have said what K is, to be A to the K bar. So K is just some positive integer. Amen. Okay, so that's some notation. And I'm also going to write, I don't know if that's convenient for your notes, but I left space over here on purpose. And that's because there's another way I want to write this. I can also write this as A plus B mod M. And similarly, so A times B mod M and A to the K mod M. Okay, so those are just other names for that. And let me just do some examples because it's kind of fun. So let me just do some mod 7, just because why not? It's probably a good number. So work mod 7. So we're going to work in Z7 here. And I want to compute the some things. And one way to say that, there are two ways to say this. So so find, or another way to say this is find the remainder when divided by 7. Okay, and I'm just going to list a few things. Let me just, the three things that I just mentioned here. So I can take, I can add, I can multiply, and I can take exponents. But it turns out that I can also do this with bigger numbers, and that's what's beautiful about it. And not only can I do it, but a computer can do it really well. And that's why it's useful for actual coding. So they tend to use a couple hundred digit numbers, but maybe more, 400 or 500 now. But in any case, but it's remarkable what you can do with it. So you can also take, for example, just by hand, though, numbers like, let's see, what did I come up with here? So say 215 plus 698. So that's actually not too bad, but I can also just multiply those numbers. Again, it's not terrible, but it's a lot faster this way than it would be longhand. But the exponent is more remarkable, so I can take 215 to the power of 698. Okay, and I can compute those mod 7. And so it's that last one actually that's closely related to RSA, to the public key crypto systems. Okay, so let me just try these, and then maybe I'll let you try a few on your own just to see if they're kind of fun. So so I'm going to do the answers over here in red. Okay, so what is this? So this I'm going to say is the same, of course, as 8 bar, which is the same as 1 bar. So the answer is just 1. Okay, so that's how I do that. And similarly here, this one I multiply, I'm going to get 15 bar. And so I compute that mod 7. So is it clear what that one is? So again, I'm just going to get the remainder mod 7. So it's going to be 1. Okay. All right. So now what about the 5K? cubed. So a couple of different ways to do this. Let me do it one of my favorite ways. Okay, so here's a trick. So 5, I can also write as minus 2, right? That's the same thing. So this is the same as minus 2 cubed. Let me leave my bars in. Okay. And so, but minus 2 cubed, that's the same as minus 8. Okay. And let me leave my bars again. So that's minus 1. So that's the same as, let me stick in the minus 1 just because it's easy. But it's 6 if I end up with a remainder. Okay. So does that make sense to everyone? So I just find the simplest thing and do it. All right. Okay. Now, but some of these are...
Could you go over that one again? How does it go from negative 1 to 6?
How did it go from negative 1 to 6? Yeah. So this one, I added 7. Right? And that's because I'm working mod 7. So I can always add and subtract 7.
Yeah, got it.
Okay. Yeah. Other questions about this one? Okay. So what about the next one? Okay, so I could add it first because I can actually add 3-digit numbers fairly well, but I don't have to. Okay, I can do it. I can do something even simpler. I can replace that 215 by its equivalence class. Okay, and so 21 is a multiple of 7, so I can just subtract that 210 off, and this is the same as 5 for the first one, right? And the second one. 700 is a multiple of 7, and that's just 2 shy of 700. So this is, I can replace it by minus 2. And let me just leave my bars, although I'm sort of the textbook kind of drops bars. Okay. Does that make sense, everyone? So and that I can do in my head. That's easy. And so now these are very easy numbers to add. So this is just 3 bars. So the answer is 3 over there. Okay. Okay. What about the next one? Well, the same thing. Right? They're the same two numbers, so I can do the same thing. So again, this is going to be 5 bar times minus 2 bar, right? So that's going to be minus 10 bar. And once again, I can just add 7s until I get into the remainder. So that's going to be 4 bar. So the answer is going to be 4, okay?
Wait, isn't it 3?
Wait, did I do it wrong?
Because... negative 10 and then you add 7, isn't that?
Let me add one more
3. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, now the negative sign is confusing. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay, but this one, so this last one is a little bit more tricky, and it's kind of a clever observation that allows that last one to work. Okay, so both of those numbers are big, all right? Now, one of them I can make small, right? So let me start by doing that. So I can make that 215 into 5 bar and leave the power alone. That much I can do, okay? And actually that 5, what's even easier is probably that I can add, subtract 7 from it, and then I get a minus 2. That's probably even a little easier, although you can do it either way. I kind of prefer the minus 2 myself. But you can do the 5. Whoops, 798. I'm not changing the exponent yet. 698. Okay, but I still have a huge number in my exponent. Okay, so there's a trick to get rid of that. So let me show the trick. And the trick is to just start computing some exponents and see what you get. And there aren't many possible answers, and pretty soon you'll get one. And that's the trick. Okay, so let's just start. So let's compute. So if I take a minus 2 and square it, that's a 4. And if I take a minus 2.
Professor?
Yep.
How did it go from 5 to negative 2?
Yes. Yeah. Same trick as before, right? So this is a. Yeah. Okay. But now what we're going to do is just keep going. So if I multiply it again by negative 2, then I get minus 8 bar, which now this one is easier. This is just minus 1 bar. Okay, well, so now I know that minus 2 cubed is minus 1. Okay, so what about minus 2 to the 6th?
Is it also a negative 1 bar? Or negative?
Almost. One bar. Right. Because I multiply negative 1 bar by negative 1 bar. And the beauty of 1 is it's easy to multiply by, right? So that's going to enable us to take to the 6. So that helps a great deal, right? Because that means that this whole thing is minus 2 bar, and then there's a whole bunch of 6s, right? It's 690 is 6 times 115, right? Well, 116. Plus 2, right? So that's just rewriting it, just dividing out the 6s. But each of those 6s is just 1. So this is just 1 to the 115 times minus 2 squared, okay? And the 1, of course, is just stays 1, and that's the power. So then this is just 4. So 4 is the answer. Any questions about those? So these are fun. So let me let you do exactly the same ones, but let's work mod 9 this time instead of 7, okay? And see if we get something different. So I'll just give you a few minutes in the breakout room. So is it clear what I want you to do? So try the same problems. Let's just do the last three. So D, E, and F in Z9, okay? So mod 9 instead of mod 7, okay? So is it clear? So you just did try it. Yeah, anyway, they're fine. So let me just give you 2 minutes to try that. Okay, great. Let's see. So did people get these to work? I haven't tried them. So. Not enough time. Oh, crap. Okay. All right. Let's see. You want another couple of minutes?
Yeah, a couple of minutes would be nice.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna do that. Let me see if I can. I don't know what happens if I create the bigger. Okay, let's see. Is that better? Do you guys get some of the, at least the first couple? All right. Okay, so how did people do for the first one? So first of all, how did you rewrite it as a sum of smaller, easier to deal with numbers?
I did a sum of 8 bar plus 5 bar. And that's 13 bar. And then that's the same as 4 bar. So far.
Okay, everyone got that? Very good. All right, and what about the next one?
I changed 8 bar to -1 bar times 5 bar, which is -5 bar, which is the same thing as 4 bar, so it's also 4.
Right, and that's very good. That's how we did. And notice that we did a lot of the work by doing the first one, right? Once we've done that reduction, then we're in good shape to do a lot of other stuff with them, okay? All right, and then what about the last one here, F?
I kept it as -1 bar to the power of 698. And because it's -1, if it's an even power, then it becomes one bar, so which is just one.
Very nice. Okay, everyone get that? Questions about that one? Yeah, so if you left it 8, it would also work, but when you write it as -1, it's really quick. So that's okay, so let me just note in passing here that this exponentiation trick is basically RSA. So RSA, which is Adelson is the names of three people, but it's the encryption system used for most public key crypto system. It's the main public key. Crypto system. I mean, things like cryptocurrencies are based in it, et cetera. And encryption. You publish a number like this 698, and the encoder does exactly what you just did. So your data would have been something like the whatever number it was, 215. And I guess this time it was for mod 7 it was 4. Right, so that's your encryption, and you hide a number like 5, and so you decode by taking 4 to the 5th, and you get the same answer back. And that's the clever thing, is finding this pair where this one's easy for people to use, and this one you get to keep and you get exponentiated. But the actual work is this encryption, is this exponentiation, which you just finished doing. And so that's exactly how this code works. Anyway, that's very quick. If you're interested, you should look it up. There are lots of things about RSA that one can find online. And actually the original paper is quite readable. Okay, but the other thing that I wanted to talk about was what I advertised earlier, which is that these definitions actually make sense, okay? And so let me note the following claim, and then I will prove it. Addition is well-defined. So addition is well-defined in Z mod M. Okay, so let me restate that so that it's clear what that means. So equivalently, claim in terms of quantifiers. And so the statement is supposed to be that it's well-defined. So that means that if I take an A here and I take a B there and I write this as the sum, that is gonna be the same thing independent of which A's I choose. Okay, so let's see. So let me say it. This way here. If we have A is congruent to C, so I haven't given that word yet. That's the other way to say this. So if A is equal to C mod M and B is equal to D mod M, then A plus B is equal to C plus D mod M. Okay, if this were not true, and I'll give you a homework problem where it's not, then you would not, it wouldn't make sense to talk about the addition that we have above, okay? And actually, yeah, that's right. Let me just add one more bit of notation. This is often said A is congruent to C. So that's another name for that same situation. Okay, so proof. Okay, so as usual, we'll do a sketch. All right, so we just did some examples of this. So examples are above. Okay, so e.g., if it's M equals 7, if I take 8 is equal to 1 mod 7, and 2 is equal to, minus 2 is equal to 5 mod 7. Then I can add these, and I get 6 is equal to 6 mod 7. Okay, so it works. All right, and then the logic. Okay, so let's see, it's a fairly clean logic here. We have this and that, and then we have a then. So it's P and Q implies R. Okay, and we're just gonna do as the most obvious direct proof of that. So assume P and Q and prove R. Just a direct proof. Okay, so let's just try it. So what does that mean? So we have that this is equal to that mod M. Okay, so what we really need to do is think about how to say that. So what formula can I write if I'm trying to say that A is equal to C mod M?
You could say that they're congruent.
Mm-hmm. So I could say that A is congruent mod M, is something I write sometimes, to C. Okay, and how can I write that in terms of division? So what has to be divisible by what for this to be true? So if you think back to the definition of this equivalence relation, you can sort of see.
A minus C?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Yeah, and that's what we came up with here, right? So it's that pair that are related. And so A minus C has to be divisible by this M. All right, so that's copying what came out of that relation. So, and that's the easy thing to make use of. A minus C is divisible by M. Okay, and divisible by, now we're into where we can start writing an equation, there is a K with M times K is equal to A minus C. And that's gonna be something that's easy to work with, okay? So does that make sense? So that's how I go and translate that into a formula. Okay, let's see. So we're almost done out of time, but they're also almost done. So so now we know that, similarly, of course, we have the same fact over here. So we get the same fact there. So except it's M times what this time is equal to B minus D. What does not go here?
Anything but K.
Exactly, not a K, anything but K. So let me use a script out. Okay, so not K. Okay, so then we can subtract them and we get M times K minus M times L is equal to I want to subtract or add? I guess I wanted to add them, sorry. Plus is equal to A minus C plus B minus D, okay? And so that, when I rearrange, that's A plus B minus C plus D, okay? And that's what I wanted, okay? So then I'm done. And basically that's the proof, so now let me just write that out, and I will be done. So proof. A is congruent mod M to C. Well, actually, I'll skip that phrasing and write it. Since M divides A minus C and B minus D, there are integers K and L with just exactly the formula that was written over there. So M times K is equal to A minus C and M times L is equal to B minus D. So M times K plus M times L is equal to A minus C. Let me just finish it up. So A plus B minus C plus D. And this is equal to M times K plus L. So we have that M divides A plus B minus C plus D So we have what we wanted. So A plus B is equal to C plus D mod M QED. Okay, and so this is the kind of thing that you might want to prove for the other two things we did, product and exponent, and at least one of those will be on the homework, so you can try it yourself. I am out of time, so I will stop, but I will stick around for questions.